so dark, I can't see the threads before me. The needle flashes a bright jab of silver, catching fleeting sparks of starlight from a gap in the plaster walls high above. I cannot tell if what I embroider follows the pattern in my mind, but I'm stuck here, stitching in the dark until she lets me out, if she lets me out. She's promised that I'm safer here, away from the eyes of the gods. She won't tell me why I'm embroidering things in the dark. She won't tell me why I can't even have a small candle. She won't even talk to me now. Ever since that weaving contest, she's just not been the same. It's comfortable enough here in the cellar. I've got a squishy armchair and a table. Every day, food and threads are left in a basket at the top of the stairs. The only thing I'm not allowed is light. I think I'm starting to forget what colors are. I remember the first time I woke up down here, whenever that was. I remember the fear and the pain woven together as I battered about, knocking things over, falling and hitting my head, screaming to be set free, let out, or at least give me a candle for the love of the gods. I don't know how long I carried on. When I found the stairs, I cried with relief that there was a way out. I clung to the handle of the door at the top of the stairs, weeping, pleading to come out, promising everything I could think of. My virginity, my firstborn, my kingdom, my horse, my voice, my most precious memory, anything ever promised in every story I had ever been told. Nothing. The scritching followed in the silence of my sobs. Just on the other side of the door, a gentle scritch-scratch dragged along the wood, next to my ear, almost a caress to soothe my fear. No words, though. Just the scritch-scratch over and over, along my cheek, separated by the splintery wood of the door. I stopped crying and a shaky calm settled. I slept at the top of the stairs, huddle-cuddled to the door, lulled to rest by the scritch-scratch on the other side. I awoke in the squishy armchair, head pillowed on my arms and knees drawn up to my chest. I groaned as the clicks and pulls of my joints and muscles unfolded with delicious pain, alive, but still in darkness. The fear stopped me from standing, froze me in that chair. It took some time for me to reach out and find my courage, to reach out and feel for anything that might be sharing the darkness with me. Gently, gently, I patted at the void an inch at a time. My eyes stretched wide, so wide it felt like they were splitting apart, so desperate for light that phantom spots flitted back and forth, dividing my attention from my reaching hand. Sharp pain in my palm made worse by that blackness. Had I been bitten, poisoned, I screamed and snatched back my hand, waiting for the burning, swelling, fainting to take me. The screaming slowed and stopped, and I rocked my hand, cradled it like a baby to my chest. A scritch-scratch from the top of the stairs sent to comfort me. I lifted my hand to my face and sniffed. Just my own dirty hand, smelling of dust and splinters. I reached out the tip of my tongue to the spot of the pain, and the faint taste of copper told me of the drop of blood there. From a pinprick, a needle. I reached out to the darkness again, pat, pat, pat. And this time I found the table and the needle, threads and canvas and hoops, all piled up in a basket. Scritch, scratch at the door, this time an encouraging noise. Nothing more but scritch, scratch until I figured out how to thread a needle in the dark. Only then did she feed me. So long ago in the darkness of my memory, my life before this room had vanished, and I lost my name in the dust balls in the corners. I poke and pull the needle, thread wriggling through, stitching tight and even. I lost track of the number of hoops I have filled with visions of light and color that shimmer across my mind's eye. I can feel the difference between the silken threads. Imagine that this thick one is indigo, but this thin one must be green. This one, sticky to the touch, is silvered thread, and I use it only sparingly, for stars or the flash of light in an eye. I stitch from memory, recreating faces and family and parties and heartbreaks. I've been down here long enough, and I don't even bother to open my eyes anymore. I don't remember the last time I stretched out to sleep, or if I have slept since that first night at the top of the stairs. Constant darkness has erased my name, has become my friend, and I no longer crave the light. Scritch Scratch calls to me, and I cast the final thread, tie the knot, bite through the thread. After I nearly severed the webbing between thumb and forefinger and never used the scissors in the dark, my teeth are sharp enough now. I carry the day's finished hoops up the 17 stairs, stack them in three neat piles. I retreat to my armchair. I can navigate my room without tripping, and there's only the chair and the table, and curl up, covering my face, while Scritch Scratch warns and the door opens. Faint freshness drifts across the backs of my hands, the tops of my feet, and I shiver at the smell of freedom. the scent of scratch lingers behind, a musty smell of fusty gone-off grain. A shard of memory, a barn in sunlight, is drowned out by the smell of warm bread, fresh cheese, and new-dyed threads. Scritch, scratch on the door as it shuts and locks. Farewell until tomorrow, and I gather from my new basket of food and threads, safe in the darkness. For the first time in living memory, as my memory of me before this room has died, I sleep, and that shard of a barn in sunlight is a vivid dream. Something is different. When I wake, I can feel a change in the darkness. I reach out to my basket, goose pimples of fear dotting my skin as I reach for the comfort of my threads and hoops and needle. The tremors in my hand tell me I'm afraid of what I won't find. Gone. My hand, pat, 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 in the free fall air, groping and grubbling, flat palm, pat, pat, pats at the empty space, down and down until it rests on the smooth tabletop. Gulps and sobs hitch my throat closed, and I stretch my eyes wide again, feel a fracturing of sight as I reach out into the nothingness surrounding my chair. Pat, pat, pat. Pat, 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 my cheeks are wet. One hand feels the darkness as the other reaches up to my face, and I jump at the touch of my own hand. Fingers test the wetness, pinch and rub it between the tips. Tears or ichor? I cannot tell, even though fingertips have acted as eyes, for I still don't know how long. Dusty darkness swallows the other hand as it still reaches out, pat, 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 searching for the change. Scritch, scratch, a warning from behind the door at the top of the stairs behind me. Scritch, scratch, scrabbles at the splintered wood, calm no more, insistent. I can feel her desperation seeping through as scritch, scratch ignores or forgets the key in the lock, tries to break through the wood. My silent hands pat, pat, pat at the air around me as the liquid on my face dries the skin to stiffness. I shift to the edge of my chair, leaning further into the unknown, my toes scrabbing at the dirt for stability, courage. A swirl of air, a reluctant exhale, brushes across my fingers. I catch for my breath as my heart stumbles, thuds twice and resets. The breath again, warm but dry. My hands won't pat, pat, pat any further forward, no matter how I force them. This far and no further will they go. The breath eases against my fingertips, regular now, no longer an errant skirl of a breeze. Scritch, scratch, frantic behind me. The wood groans and splinters. Scritch, scrabble, scratch, the door fractures but holds her out. Scritch, scratch, tries to push her way through the cracks. Scritch, scratch, squalls out a warning. Danger, danger, danger. I close my eyes, a feeble gesture of bravery in this darkness, and feel coarse grit scrape deep into my lids. I feel fluid flow out, neither tears nor ichor, a cooling warmth trickling down my cheeks, but I don't have to force myself to reach further forward now. There are lips, carved marble, pressed to my fingers now. Every breath cools and warms my fingertips. Scritch, scratch stops, a keening whine just on the edge of hearing, no, 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 no. I freeze, cannot move, cannot think. My eyes are open now and streaming freely. Memories of light chase like ghosts across my splintered vision, jagging in different directions with each hitched breath of my own. I cannot stop the fingers from telling me what they see. Sculpted mouth. Defined lines of lips partly opened, covered with a loose woven veil, feels like black, and now shifting into a smile. The breath stops. Found you. Beneath the veil, her godlike glows, dim at first, but blinding to me as it shatters my eyes again, fractures spilling out and down my face. My eyes will not close over the slivers, and I turn my face away from the baleful light. I can't take back my hands, though. She has captured them in hers and turns them over and back. I can't close my eyes. The lids are shredded, and I see her smile, secretive and heartbreakingly beautiful. Scritch, scratch, plead from behind the broken door, keening cries shifting to please, 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 silence. The world stops on Athena's command. Still, she examines my hands, and my eyes wither in her burgeoning godlight. She prods the calloused tips, roughened by needle pricks and threads, traces the scar of scissors along the webbing. I shudder under her attentive touch. Her hands over my hands, my eyes for so long, blind me with every tap and touch. All I can see is her glory. I wondered how she was doing it, creating such needlework with clumsy legs and arms. Athena, seemingly mesmerized by the scars and calluses, strokes the pad of each finger, sending judders of pain through me. Now I know. She releases my hands and sweeps her veil aside. The darkness disappears as though it had never dared exist. And with my soundless scream, I wish for its return. Twisting and curling up in my chair, I covered my face with my calloused hands, scraping my eyes raw and unable to block out Athena's light. I hear her hissed breath, the scuff of her feet on the dirt floor as she steps closer. I hear the rustle and whisper of her robes as she bends forward and reaches for me. My jaw goes numb from the moment she grips it with her marble-cold hand, as though her light sucks heat and warmth from everything. Ice trails down my neck, and I think I hear it cracking as she turns my face up into her light. Light that I had prayed for. Light that now terrifies and freezes me from the soul out. I cannot force my lids over my shattered eyes, and I am forced to see the goddess fractured across my vision. 8 times over, I see her eyes open wide with mute horror. 8 times over, I must watch as she pulls and pushes my face from side to side. 8 times over, the glory of the goddess is reflected and refracted, stabbing into my mind. She cuts, a human sound. The blue-white godlike cannot hide the disgust that warps her perfect face as she straightens, still staring at me. No need for me to punish you. You have done enough to yourself. She smiles, unyielding triumph carved there, and sweeps the veil over her perfection. Darkness rushes in to fill the void where the goddess had been. Scritch, scratch, still at the door. Now through the door and down the stairs, scritching, scratching through the black, 8 times 8 times 8, until she finds me. My fractured and faceted eyes, completely blind, without even the ghost and memory of light, pierce the darkness. We huddle together, 8 legs times 8 eyes, sisters marred by a goddess's pride.